I love all the art in your apartment. As you were walking around, I was like, wow, really, you really
Oh,
cover them walls.
we
Wait,
did.
what is that behind you over the couch? Is
Oh,
it pink? I love
it's
that.
Manny. Yeah. Yeah. Ryan and I, Ryan, I was with him, saw this at Dobbin Street, the one closer to you. And he was like, oh my God, I love that. And I was like, that's so funny because it's hideous. But no, actually, I have a great eye, but he has a better eye for seeing this random ugly shit and then taking it home and making it beautiful. I love it now. I think it's stunning. But like,
Just random ugly shit.
I've had to learn to trust it.
Great art, though. Great
Great art.
art in your
Thank you.
apartment.
Great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Imagine you find out that painting's worth so much money later on. You never know. You never
No,
know.
literally, I wouldn't tell him.
Welcome back to Smelly Later, your favorite non-visual platform for us to talk about things you can't see.
Your favorite art podcast.
Yeah.
Sable, look what I have.
What?
Wait, fuck. When does this embargo lift?
I think we can talk about it because this will be going up in 2 weeks.
I actually haven't opened it yet.
I'm
So,
not.
on our non-visual platform, listeners, I'm holding a medium-sized red box with a new brand that I've never heard of before, Glossier, emblazoned across the front of it. And when you open it, it says tap phone here. And I genuinely don't.
That didn't work for me. Did it work for you?
I don't really know.
I saw it on Glossier's Instagram. They like did a screenshot of what was meant to happen, which is this AI 3D art thing that kind of
Yep.
tells you, teases what's inside the box.
It's happened for me, but I got confused. I haven't opened it yet.
I just ripped it open. They have a padlock that they have not released the code for yet at recording time. And they're like, we'll release it on this date and then you can open it, which I think is, in terms of marketing and content creation and creating buzz, it's very clever. It's a cute idea. In terms of stopping me, it is futile because the way I just tore that cardboard open, you wouldn't believe it.
Should I just do the same thing?
Yes.
Should I do a live smell?
Yes.
All right. Sorry, Glossier.
It will be the thing that I'm wearing today, though. So
Oh, word. All right.
we can weave that in.
That's okay.
I just tore it open. The little thing holding the padlock, it's just glued to cardboard. So,
It's just glued?
yeah, it's just glued. We just
Oh,
give it a
that's like, why
squeeze.
would you waste?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I'm like, that was cute. You thought you could stop me. Ha 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 ha.
Oh,
I feel like you'll hate them, but I might be
I
surprised.
will. I'm literally soaked in perfume right now. I'm gonna have to put these like on my biceps, quote unquote. Okay, which one do I start with? So,
Yes.
listener, before me stand two perfumes. They are new versions of Glossier. What are they, Sable?
I believe they're flankers of Glossier U.
Oh yeah, Glossier U, Duvu, duh,
DOU.
Du, and Rev. Do you have a press release?
It's in the box. It's
Oh.
a little paper that came in the box.
Oh.
It just tells you what's in it. They're really leaning into the U of it all. The headline, Impressions of U, period. Meet our newest skin scent enhancers inspired by Glossier U. Close to skin, true to you. Sharing a warm, musky Ambrox plus Ambrette base, they smell a little different on everyone and let more of you shine through. So yeah, they're basically flankers of you.
Newest skin scent enhancers. Y'all have got a lot of fucking nerve. Do you know that?
I feel like they're implying that you layer them with Glossier U. That's the implication I get. Which one did you just spray? Do? Also, mind you, these were also both perfumed by Frank Focal, who also was a perfumer of you. So that makes sense. He's just like, cool, let me go to the archives, take out the file, and add some stuff to it.
Yeah, let me get the mods out that weren't approved. Do y'all care about these live smell sessions? If you don't, that's fine. I realize it's not a visual medium. Okay, do.
Okay, you're smelling Dew. I feel like a lot of people are going to want our opinions on this or will DM us and ask us.
That's
So.
a really scary thought. I wish you had not just said that. Okay, do top sweet violet, heart, Palo Santo, frankincense, and myrrh. Shout out to the Christ Child. And then the base is Ambrox and Ambrette.
I do to me smell so much like Santal 33. So
Oh,
much like it.
okay. Wait, you know what, though? Actually, for the record, I have stated many times on this podcast, I hate Glossier U. Hate, hate. This, do, it's not a fragrance I would buy, but it doesn't repel me like Glossier Eau does. It's like very softly sweet. And I feel like this would burn off me in 2 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. It's making me cough. I'm sorry. I just sprayed it on me.
I like, my nose is against my skin. How is the projection with this?
Not, the projection is
okay.
They're meant to be skin scent enhancers, so that's par for the course. But I was surprised at how Santali this smelled.
I hear you when you say that, and I don't disagree, but Santal to me isn't this sweet.
Yeah, it does have a little bit more of that candy sharpness from the violet, maybe. There's something about it that, like, I don't think this one is for me personally, but I could see a lot of people liking it because it is like a familiar scent profile.
You know what it's giving? It's giving by Rosie Jane.
I could see that. I could see that.
Not a here, not there. Yeah, no, I don't dislike this. And I've had it on myself for 40 seconds, but I feel like my one critique about this is that it's not going to project enough. But again, not something I'd wear, but.
It's for people who don't want to project smell, which there are people.
Cannot relate. Okay, what's this other one? Rev? A lush, dreamy gourmand that is a rush of you.
Those are choice words.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Rev. Oh, wow.
It's giving wow.
So this has some personality to it. I'll give them that.
Yeah. It's got it's got a tude.
Okay. The top is buttercream. Okay. Heart is plum butter.
What is
toasted almond, iris, and sandalwood. The base is ambrox and umbrette. Okay.
This does not read gourmand to me, like, at all.
This reads like a fruity gourmand to me. This is fruitier than anything.
Okay. This to me smells like high pile carpeting at a clothing boutique. Like nice high pile carpeting in the fitting rooms of a clothing boutique. That's what it smells like to me. I get the fruitiness, but it's not it's not like a juicy fruit. It's like a creamy fruit, if that makes sense.
Yeah. This smells to me like lip smacker and a grape scented marker.
Yep. It does smell purple. I'll give them that.
It does smell purple.
It smells purple.
Okay. You know what?
Giving purple carpeting.
I
don't hate it.
I don't hate it.
I was wearing it today and I was kind of like, who is she? What is this?
Did you wear it alone?
I wore it alone. I can't really imagine layering this with you, but I can imagine layering Dew with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one does seem more standalone. I think calling it a gourmand is a bit rich, but I didn't write the copy for this, so whatever.
So my question, if they're enhancers, is that why they're so light? Because an enhancer can still be punchy.
Yes, so. I think because they're meant to be layered, it's on the lighter side. Both of them, they do feel a little bit, there's something vacant within them. They do feel a little low to me. They're like a little atmospheric flavor topper, but.
Yeah, they feel like all top notes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They feel like all top, no bottom.
Would you please? Yeah, they're fine. They're fine.
Fine. They're fine. I'll say that. They're fine. I'm genuinely curious what the public reception will be of this. I get why you is popular. I genuinely get it. I know I'm like, I don't think this is for me. I think I can enjoy wearing it, but it's not something I necessarily gravitate toward. But I do get why girls like it. With these two, they're a little quirkier. So I'm curious what the reception is going to be. I feel like the purple Rev will be more popular, but
I don't know. Now that Dew is drying down at me, I'm not so sure about that, about me. It's fine.
Didn't really like Dew.
It feels staticky.
I don't know.
Anyway, sorry. I'm sure this is fascinating. Can't wait to go to that Glossier event tomorrow that we're getting to on a boat It's going to rain.
Part of me was like, can't I just take an Uber there? Like, why do I have to get on this boat?
I asked for a Lyft code, girl.
Did you?
Yes.
And did they?
Yes. It says transportation can be provided.
Oh, because I wondered if they're going to do something on the ferry, and that's why.
I bet you it's going to be an entrance thing. It's going to be like how people like roll into con on boats or whatever the hell.
I love the ferry. I love an excuse to take the ferry, so I'm okay with it. I think I want to go home in a Lyft.
That's what I'm doing. I'm taking the ferry there, going home in a Lyft. Yeah.
I think I'll ask for that. Yeah.
I knew we were sisters. Yeah. There it is.
There it is. That is what I smell like today. Dynan, what do you smell like today?
Now I smell like all this shit. Yeah. I was going to say we don't usually do this, but we sometimes do. I smell like one of the perfumes from our guests today called Morel Map from Clue Perfumery. And Clue has four scents. They launched with three with a newly released one, rounding it out to an even four.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sent these, I saved the one I'm wearing for last because I think, as I said on a previous episode, it just wasn't jumping out to me. I thought I wasn't gonna like it. What I'm wearing is called Morale Map.
I love that
Sorry,
one.
bringing. I do too. Plot twist. The copy around it says the hunt begins in spring when Wisconsin's soil grows warm and damp. Now, I spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, as did the perfumer. That really resonates with me. And man, for not thinking I was going to like this, I was dead wrong. This may be my favorite in the collection. I'm not really like an earthy girl or whatever. I like green scents. I appreciate them, but they're not really what I reach for. I didn't think something that was supposed to smell like a damp forest floor was really gonna do it much for me, but it feels like a tableau of a wet forest after rain
Yeah.
when the sun is starting to peek through the trees, as seen through an impressionist painting. I think I just wanted to say impressionist painting. That might not be what it is, but it's not. It's a really good execution of that idea, if not taken literally. And I think that's the important part. It's really spot on. It really drops you in, but it's not, it's still fanciful and conceptual, I think, is more. I don't know. It's just gorgeous.
It's such a lovely, familiar yet unique scent, because according to the name and the profile, I guess this is meant to be an earthy, kind of foresty scent. But I get so much like sweetness and this kind of, I almost get a little bit of a musky, like a mineral muskiness that personally I'm most drawn to those notes. Yeah, it's sweet in a subtle, musky way, but then like green, dewy, and earthy in all the ways that matter.
It's that. Yeah, I don't get a ton of sweetness from this, shockingly, being me, but it's like petrichor and damp grass and a lot of wood and a lot of greens. And you know what? I do get musk and from it. And I think our conversation with the perfumer will color this in a little bit, but it's just so nice. And I think it smells today on me like one part classic cologne, three parts this idea of the forest. There is something classic in here that I didn't notice before that I think is odd and cool, but more this Hobbit fantasy or whatever the hell.
It's giving the shag.
The
Yes.
literally, yeah.
It's giving that one Tumblr image of the mushroom house in the woods.
Yes, exactly. The top is birch leaf, balsam fir needle, red currant, Wisconsin wood violet. Middle is violet leaf, galbanum, morel mushrooms, and then the base is oak moss, dead elm tree, and forest floor. I think that's all pretty spot on. I really can't believe how much I love this. I'm gonna be, I can't think of a way to make that not sound disgusting. I'm gonna be saving this sample vial and using it very sparingly because it's really beautiful. But as are the rest of the collection, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I think they're all conceptually, I feel like the scents are so interesting because, for instance, I really like warm bulb as well. And as soon as I like picture it in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, I like I can I know what that smell feels like. And it tracks. The smell of it just tracks, because to me, and I feel like we've talked about this even on our first episode, some of the most nostalgic scents that I smell are like when the radiator flicks on for the first time in the winter. And it's kind of smell of roasting dust that's been settled on the radiator. This gives me that in obviously so much more of a pleasant way, because it's almost, yeah, like the top note is burning dust, hot air, black pepper, immortelle pepper, spark tobacco, sandalwood amber, preserved vanilla. So it's almost like the smell of like those like dim aesthetic Edison light bulbs. It's like the smell that goes with that glow. Yeah,
I
conceptually to
com
olfactory, I feel like they just have such a cool creative vision with the brand.
totally. You did say that on our like very first episode, didn't
Yeah.
you? Crazy. We got 100 years ago.
100 years ago. I
Or
feel like that's we got a transition at that point.
I know we are incredibly excited to welcome Laura, the perfumer behind Clue, to the show today. And I think we should just jump in.
I'm Laura, and I'm the perfumer and co-founder of Clue Perfumery.
And we always start off by asking our guests, Laura, what do you smell like today?
Yeah, so I've got an interesting mixture occurring right now. on my hands and on my clothes. I was testing a room and linen spray that I'm making for someone we're partnering with. So that's like all over my sweatshirt right now. And then I'm working on a perfume for a friend that has miraculously stayed on my hands all day despite several washes. So I'm impressed. And they're very nice together. Both are peppery, green, spicy. So,
we love that.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you often do customs for friends and clients? How does that work for you?
Yeah, not a ton. And honestly, we're slowing down, like pumping the brakes a bit, because I think it was something that we thought we would have to do, like from a just like financial perspective. And then pretty quickly got like overwhelmed with it because it's a lot of work. Like that's the most labor intensive part of the whole process for me, is just like making the scents and conceptualizing. So yeah, I'm wrapping up a couple more now. And I think from now on, we're going to stick to doing like one custom at a time.
Smart. Yeah. Smart. I'm sure that it can be overwhelming.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a usual thing, but how long do you tend to take with those types of projects?
I think it varies a lot. So far, each one has taken longer than I anticipated. And it's also funny just the way things work out. I feel like every time there's a project that I'm like, oh, this is going to be an easy one. Like we had a friend with a brand who wanted just like a gourmand. And I was like, sweet, straightforward. This is going to be a slam dunk. Like he wants vanilla. We're good. And that one was like, of course, it was just the opposite. Like it took so long to do. So I think we're on like month four of that. He just approved the formula and we just got it like IFRA certified. So it's finally done. But I think I'm sure I'll get faster. But yeah, right now it's 4 months.
Oh, wow.
Just for the formula.
That still seems like pretty fast.
Okay, that's good to hear. I never know. Like people always want deadlines and stuff when they're sort of approaching us about projects like this. And I just have no way to gauge. I don't know, as a partner in this, like how many edits are you going to have?
Yeah, right. That's the scary part, because I feel like what happens is people think they know what they want, but then they don't. And then the only way they can figure it out is when they smell something. Then they're like, okay, not that. And then you're like, that's totally what you want me to do.
Yeah. No one ever knows what they want. They just know what they don't want.
Exactly.
Totally. Which is, we're doing like the one that I'm wearing on my shirt right now is the first like out of the city client. Like it's a store that we're in a different state, and I'm getting nervous about sending them trials, because usually I have people come into our lab, and if they're saying like there's something in here that's spicy and I don't like it, it's easy for me to pull it off the organ and say, is it this? And then we can just like weed it out right away and find a substitute by material. But you can't do that if they're hours away. So we'll see.
This is all bringing me to, we're probably going off script at this point, but can you just tell us about yourself and your background and how you got into perfumery before we even get to Clue? Or maybe they're one and the same.
Yeah, they are one and the same. They're exactly the same, because Clue is my entry into perfumery too. Morel Map was like one of the first perfumes that I ever made. So yeah, I was always really fascinated with scents, and like specifically, I was really fascinated with the smell of functional products. And I remember as a child being dismayed with the way that like fragrances smelled. Like I remember just always feeling like these are too, I don't know, showy for me or too mature for me. But I was gripped by shampoo and lotion and deodorant, like the same way that I think a lot of people are gripped by DKNY Be Delicious. So yeah, it was just always something that I was extremely fixated on and distracted by. Like I think I definitely had instances as a kid of being preoccupied by scent to the point of being annoying. I couldn't be in a room that had freshly painted walls. I couldn't be in a bar that had people smoking, just really distracted by it. I didn't think there was anything professional I could do with it. I thought that the closest I would come would be like having a job that allowed me to finance a perfume collection and finding stuff that I actually liked. And I think that was what was so motivating for me. It was hard for me to find fragrances that I liked. So I was like I was getting like hundreds of lucky scent samples and finding so many of them fascinating, but so few of them were captivating enough for me to want to wear them. Yeah. So I was working in the music industry and live event programming and really unhappy and dreaming about a possibility where I could work in fragrance, even if it was in marketing or on the outside. And then COVID happened and the Institute of Art and Olfaction had always been on my radar, but I just had no way to get to LA and take a week off of work to take classes. So as soon as they took stuff online, I was like immediately signing up and immediately ordering materials. And cool. That was just the entry.
Sorry, I'm looking for your perfumes right now because I want to put them on.
Yeah, totally.
I do feel there's, at least just from what some folks have told me, the pandemic, I feel like, was such a turning point in anyone who was interested in scent, but just like never had the wherewithal to sit and give it the attention that they wanted to. And like now we're getting all these like really cool, interesting fragrance lines because of that.
Yes, totally. That's such a good observation, Sable.
It is. I think it's an industry that was begging for a shakeup, right?
Oh my gosh, and like, yeah. And it's so, it's so gatekeepy. So I had no idea this was a thing that people did. Mm-hmm. It didn't even occur to me like ever in my life when I was a kid that someone is making these smells. But if you know, you know, and most people don't.
Right. Yeah. If I would have known, I was terrible at science, but if I would have known, I would have tried taking chemistry. I would have tried.
Yeah.
But yeah, just have no idea.
No, that's so real. We touched on it before. It's no one told us that you could do this, that you could be interested in something and then cash a check from it. They always said, you won't work a day if you do what you love or whatever the fuck. But it's like, until it comes time to actually get a job, that's what they're saying. But I feel like, not to be like social media, the only thing we ever talk about on the show, but I'm so happy that we do see all of these like chemists and regulators with these huge accounts that are both educating and showing how cool the back end of it is, even if it is really scientific. Or I don't know. I think it's going to make for a really great next generation of products, or a really insane one. I don't know. Can you imagine what Sephora is going to look like in 15 years?
Yeah, I cannot. I think about it often and I cannot. Yeah. In the past like 2 years, their perfume offerings have just been like, explosively different.
Yeah.
But there were times when I was like really hating my job and I was like applying to just like perfume counters. Like it was just like anything that I could do to be close to it, which is so funny looking back, because by the time I got anybody to respond to those applications, it was like Labo. And at that point Clue hadn't launched, but we had started and they were like, absolutely not, like conflict of interest. You cannot work here. So
they would. Those essays.
You dodged a bullet there.
You did dodge a bullet. Yeah,
I think so. Right. That's what they say. That's what they say.
It pains me to hear you say that you don't think you were good at science, because I went to public high school, whatever. I'm like, was I not good at science or were you not good at teaching science? I don't know. But
I went to private school and I wasn't good at anything. So
even like the way I feel like your brain, when you can apply knowledge to things you're actually interested in, like perfumery, I'm like, I think I probably could have like the brain cells would have rallied for that.
Exactly. That's ever heard thing. Of a passion?
Yeah. The brain cells does not care about random theoreticals chemistry, but it would care about perfume.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I find myself now trying to understand like, what is the structural difference of an aldehyde and an alcohol? And it's in that context, I can sit down and try to figure it out. But whatever we were doing in high school, I did not care. I did not know what it was for. I did not see any application for it. So
trigonometry, never used it.
No. If they could have shown me the beauty that it would be able to create, I would have
totally
been excited. But
that's so real.
Yeah.
What was the impetus moment after the lucky scent and the olfaction that you were like, okay, this is it. Clue's happening. We're launching a brand. Like, when was that moment? And then what happened from there?
Yeah, I think that, so I've been just like working on a bunch of experiments for a while and putting together these like really sloppy trials. And there was a night where I had, which like looking back on this, I'm like, wow, that was a little like freaky, brazen of me. But I had invited some friends over and I had prepared like some playlists and some wine pairings and some early trials. And I also had some mood lighting, because at the time I had this smart light bulbs that could change color. So I gave them like a presentation of, I think, 4 scents, and like Candlestick and Morel were in there, and then 2 that ended up getting scrapped, and then Bulb wasn't really an idea yet. But I gave them this presentation that was, this is what this concept looks like. This is what it sounds like. This is the story it's telling. Like, now let's all smell it and tell me. I was just curious. And can you tell me if this is matching up for you too? Like, when you see these pictures and you are sitting in a room with red lights on only and you're smelling this, do you feel like you're taking communion? And that was like that was a formalizing moment, because these scents had names and they had concepts, and of course Caleb was there. So it was also my like bid to him to be, I'm getting serious about this. What do you when you think about the visuals, what does this look like to you? And then we ended up having another night like that. But this time, like, Caleb brought a deck too. And he was like, these are like the colors I'm seeing for this. And these are the illustrations I'm seeing, or like, this is who I would like to work with to make this label. So it started out really fun. This was like how we were spending Saturday night. And it was like in the aftermath of COVID, just like getting back together. And I think my friends and I really doing, I don't know, elementary school feeling thought exercises like that, where you have something to share and you're just getting reactions.
Totally.
Yeah. So it was just fun.
Yeah. I feel like there's definitely now, at least amongst me and my peers, there is this, I feel like, resurgence of almost going back to quote unquote childhood arts and crafts, and just like a fun craft or like creativity night with your friends. This feels like so fulfilling and so good.
It's like, well, just being open.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's also, maybe I'm just like projecting here, but it's like all of our lives are so work focused and so deliverables focused that it is fun to think about something with a friend, like the shit we've been talking about, Sable. It's like, I love this. This is going to be so much fucking work, but it's going to be fun because I'm doing it with you. Like,
exactly. Yeah. And it's funny to even think about like the tasks you get at work where it's, this could be fun. Like the framework of this could be fulfilling if it wasn't about emails and schedules, but something that I cared about. And yeah.
I genuinely wonder who out there has a job that they're like, is so fulfilling, so self-affirming, and they can live off of it. Who? I would love to know it.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me right now, but
that's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I think there are certain people like yourself and myself who just, I don't think having a normal job is it. I'd rather struggle for something I really believe in and feel good doing than make a ton of money doing something that feels so empty.
The way you were dragging me to hell right now.
It's a blessing and it's a curse. And I think that it's, I always have to tell myself, it is like chemically impossible in my brain to, I don't know, sit at a desk, feel bad, get worried I'm going to get yelled at by someone.
American work structure is just like, I just feel like it's made for people, especially now.
Well, that's why they're giving all their jobs to computers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like everyone's rebelling and making perfume, which I love.
Thank God.
Yes. I'm looking at even the samples, the way you package your
sample
when he is tied to this. It's so creative. I don't think anyone else has done something like this. I love the font and like the way the swirl of the notes. It's just like very unique and well thought out.
Yeah, that's all Caleb. And one, there's a million blessings with Caleb. Like, he's so talented and so thoughtful. But one huge blessing with him, and we've talked about this a lot, is that he coming into this didn't know that much about perfume. Like, he didn't know what a perfume sample came. I don't think he realized that delivery method of a vial taped to an unusually shaped card. I don't think he really realized how unusual that was. Yeah. But now he does. Like, he gets why people are excited to have them and share them.
Was that his idea to do it this way?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
See, I know. Yeah.
So other people from like different creative fields come into a different industry and shake things up.
Yes.
And do creativity. That's great.
Yeah, I think that was literally his first idea for samples. Like, he just was like, I've got a packaging idea that I think would be easy to make and cool. And it is. Yeah.
Sometimes first idea is best idea.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
You mentioned that your scents draw upon surprising references. And I wanted to understand, now that we have grown familiar with the collection, what are some of those surprising references? Because I'm dying to know some of these.
Yeah. In the ones that are released so far, I think that the kind of most surprising one that people usually point to first is Warm Bulb. And like, the reference for that is titular. It's in the name, but it is just a light bulb getting too hot and the dust burning off of its surface and getting that electrical heat that just gently radiates and glows off of it. And that's like the concept of Warm Bulb, I think, is really central to some of the ideas that interest us, because it is so just like mundane and humble. And maybe it's not something that you often think about, oh, I can't wait to get home and smell my light bulbs. But as soon as that connection is made, you're like, oh yeah, that's what it is. And I do like that. This is something that is familiar. Yeah, it's not making any claims about being sexy or intoxicating.
Totally.
It just is trying to be familiar.
Yeah. Every time, this is so stupid, and I'm sorry, but every time I like hear the phrase warm bulb, in my head as Warm Blood by Carly Rae Jepsen, and then it's with me for the rest of the day. But that's not a drag. That's a good thing. That's no, a gift he's given me.
I've been her for Halloween twice. I love her.
Babe.
I love that.
I love her. I don't know. We want to hear about the communion scent.
Yeah. So like with the candlestick is the communion scent. And that was, I think like Morel Map and with the candlestick were my first two ideas and like the first full ones that I made. And they just kept their name the whole time, kept the concept the whole time. Like they're no different now than what I had hoped they'd be when I had first had the ideas. Mm-hmm. But with the candlestick is really just when I was little, which I guess this is a blessing, but like the thing in my life that scared me the most and caused me the most distress was taking communion and like spending the week dreading the act of having to take communion. Like it just, it absolutely freaked me out. Like I did not want to be told I was drinking blood or eating the body. Mm-hmm. I didn't like any of it. I didn't like being handed food. It just like really freaks me out.
Yeah. For a kid, that's like a pretty metal thing to think about.
Oh, yeah. And I think also seeing all the adults around you take it so seriously because it is serious. So it disturbed me, like all of it did. And even when I remember being like, what are those? An acolyte? Is that what it's called? The person who helps light the candles on the stage?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember graduating to that and seeing the back room where they kept the wine and the wafers. Yeah. And I remember thinking like, oh my God, like a peek behind the curtain of the thing that freaks me out more than anything. I remember how weird that room smelled. And I remembered that it was still freaky. Like none of the mystique was lifted.
Isn't it weird? All the little, it's like, they're like crackers basically.
Like, yeah. And they like come in like a Costco tub and it's like, this is the body.
Yeah, like, I know. Why does it weird? I'm like, where do you buy this? What store?
Yeah, I know. It's just from the, I don't know, with the perspective of a kid, it just is, it's freaky. There's nothing else about it that's anything more than freaky. But yeah, so that scent was, I think it didn't start as specific as that, but then in the earlier trials of it, I was, one of the classes at IAO was like experimental perfumery and they made you get castoreum, like real castoreum, and which is like the beaver excrement gland stuff. And it's like juice that they release when they're scared. And I remember the first time I smelled that, I was like physically very scared. Like my heart was racing, my eyes were dilated. Like I was really freaked out. So smelling that and thinking like, what if the scent about like being scared in a holy space did physically make you feel afraid? Oh, so the early trials of that had castoreum in it just to make it feel like as scary as I remember it.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's vegan now, but yeah.
Oh my God. Such a wrathful smell.
Yeah. So that's that one.
It's funny not to just burn through all of it. And go ahead.
No, you go.
You're the guest, girl. I just want to say like, When you so graciously sent us these, Morel Map was the one I was saving for last because I was like, that doesn't sound like me. I don't think I really care about it. And yeah. I got to let you know, like this, I love all of them. I can't even pick a favorite, but this one might be it, honestly.
Yeah, really? I feel like I have the strongest reaction with Morel Map as well.
It's okay. Cool. Like, they're all gorgeous. But this one, the one that I was like, I'm like, hold on a minute here. It's so good.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah, there's something like very unique about it, but familiar at the same time that I like can't put my finger on. But I think that's what drew me towards it.
Yeah, it turned out like a lot more. I remember for a long time, the early trials of that and the very late trials of that even were a big muddy mess. It was a big sloppy pile of dirt and dead leaves and it smelled like that. And I was struggling for a long time making it approachable or like pleasant, nice on the skin, wearable in any way, because we really do pride ourselves with keeping things accurate and photorealistic. And then in like a moment of desperation, I remember just like adding a couple of things that I was like, I don't even know how this is going to work. And then all of a sudden it took this kind of classic shape. I don't know, got a classic Fougere structure that I wasn't anticipating.
You're right. Yeah. I think I smell it more right now than I did originally, but it still has a dank forest floor. It's odd. It's so weird.
It definitely has an atmosphere to it. Of like
totally
a dewy forest, but then it has like the grounding earthy elements that I think make it like this is a perfume.
Yeah, I was trying really, that was like such a fun exercise in trying to make air. I remember when I was making it, I kept saying there needs to be more air in this. Like it's like a forest is not just like leaves and dirt and wood like packed into a dense cube. There's so much airiness, and like, how do you make it like lighter and give it more space? So I love that one. And that one's the most like Wisconsin. Love that too.
Wait, you're from, where are you based?
I'm in Chicago now. Where Caleb and I are both in Chicago, but we're from a suburb of Madison.
Oh my God. I spent like 8-9 years in Madison. Yeah.
That's so funny. So where, which also this doesn't, off the record or whatever. Where were you? Yeah.
I was in Madison. I was in downtown. That's where so sick. I got my writing career off the ground. I bartended at Shamrock, this gay bar there for, I don't know, how, my entire time I was there, like 8-9 years.
Really?
And it was cool. I always told myself, like, once I make enough money writing, I'm going to quit the bar because it's obviously really hard, really physical, long hours, whatever. And then by the time I was like, well, I think this place is a really important part of the community, and I can't, and it's my family, and I can't picture myself leaving. It sounds so like corny, like with my work family, but it was like, it was a safe space for queer people. And I was a part of it.
That's huge.
The whole thing. Yeah, it all worked out.
Just as liberal as Madison is, not that many gay bars. There's like, I don't think, is Shamrock still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't been there.
But you gotta go. It's fun. But yeah, the Midwest is it.
Yeah. I love Midwest. I have just so many good memories in Madison. I'm so glad you're familiar. Very well acquainted with.
Yes, very. Too well acquainted with.
Yeah.
How is it? I'm curious about, I always felt when I was in Madison, I was part of the beauty industry doing editorial, and I had a thing going, but I always felt removed from it because I think I had this weird complex of, I'm not in New York City, or I'm not in LA, but really just New York City, until I realized I don't think it matters anymore. Like, I think I've done thing, and now I'm here. And I wish I would have known that. We all have so much perspective with that, like post-COVID. Yeah. There it is again. But how is it having a fragrance company out of the Midwest? Is it easier? Is it harder? Do you feel like you're up against more now that we have like, the internet? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. What's that like? It's hard for me to say for sure because I don't know any different. But there are so many advantages. The fact that we could get a studio space when we did, and we just moved into a bigger studio space. I do not think we could have afforded anything in New York when we were getting started. And also when we were getting started, I was doing everything out of my studio apartment. And I definitely couldn't have lived on my own. Clue was my roommate. Like, my organ and all my supplies were taking up more room than I was. Like, I was sleeping on a futon, like with all of the Clue stuff in my studio apartment. Like, I just wouldn't have done that if I was paying New York rent or LA rent. There just would have been literally no way. And I think about that even just with how long I had a full-time job and was doing this. I think the fact that I had any money to spend on this as a hobby in those early months was, some of it is due to living in the Midwest, because I was working at a university. I wasn't making money, but it was enough for me to get started on this. Mm-hmm. And also, we're blessed in the sense that there's not that many people in Chicago doing this. Mm-hmm. We've got Pear Fat, who Allie's great, and she's an amazing resource to reach out to. A couple other, Agar, Deepfield. There's a handful of Chicago perfumers, but I do feel like all of us get nice treatment at the stores here. We all have very good placement in shops. There's not a lot of competition between us, and all of them are great resources. So it's nice. I like it. I like being here. I don't know. So much of our stuff is, since there's no like physical shops, go in and buy materials or go in and buy bottles in bulk. It's, we're not really suffering in terms of supply chain by being in the middle of the country. So it's nice. We've been talking about going on a tour once we get our stock and stuff, traveling around, seeing every place where we're stocked.
You should.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should. Because I haven't even been to Stella yet, and we've been in there for a bit, and I'm just like so eager to see it.
Yes, never heard of it.
Yeah.
That's the first place where I got to smell your perfumes. I think Tynan randomly discovered them at this boutique in Greenpoint.
Forecast. Which I can
Forecast.
We love Forecast. Yes. Love them.
Yeah. And he like texted me and he was like, I saw this really cool new perfume brand. I've never seen them before, but they look like chess pieces.
Hell yeah.
And then I think he just sent me a photo of them. And then I was like, oh, that's cool. And then didn't hear anything about it. And then I went to Stella and I was like, oh my God, it's them.
And then I saw you on, I think like it all happened at once. Yeah. Like I did that. She did that. And then you were on Perfume Room. And I was like, okay, what's going on? It was like, I didn't know anything about you guys and then anywhere, everywhere. I was like, okay, I got to figure this out. So
yeah. We hit all the spots at one time.
Great. Great.
And like when I saw that, I remember thinking, and I just looked, I was like, okay, they have a website. Like they're based in Chicago. Cool. They're an indie brand. And at the time, like I developed and made a fragrance for a book launch. So my brain was basically in manufacturing mode. And I was like, how did they make these custom caps? Like, I bet they cost a bajillion dollars. There are no good caps in America.
No, I was going to ask you how you got your caps, because yours are interesting.
I miraculously found a vendor who had the dark black bottles already. They were all extra if you want color treated glass.
Yeah.
And he just happened to have that. And then he had the caps to go. So it was such a diamond in the rough find. But other than that.
Totally.
And even then I had to really negotiate, because he's like, I won't sell them under 500 units.
That's the thing. It's so hard. And I imagine that when I see people with custom bottles, I imagine that has to be worse. I don't know. I'm not like a product manufacturer, but I just cannot imagine like the details that go into custom glass molding. No. But yeah.
The amount of money that goes into it. Even a custom bottle shape that you might not think is that custom, it's still going to cost if it's not whatever's like available in like stock medics or something.
I think that your cap and then how it informs the silhouette of the whole bottle is one of the most striking things about it. What was that? Not like monetarily, but what was that process like for you? Because I'm sure it would have been easier and more affordable, especially for a smaller brand, to go with something stock. But do you just want to walk us through that thought process?
So we were lucky that we had a friend with a 3D printer, which allowed us a lot of experimentation. Mm-hmm. And we were also lucky that like Caleb was really relentless in getting something custom. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I really wanted, but was fearful that I was going to be shut down on that, or that it was going to just be an insurmountable feat. But because we had the access to this 3D printer, we were making a bunch of just samples, and we keep all of them, and they all are wildly different than what we ended up going with. But eventually I remember him coming over, and his girlfriend, Kate, who's a very good friend and also an extremely talented designer. I remember them saying, I think we figured out the cap, and they came over and had this amazing like presentation that was just like basically explaining why that shape and how like the silhouette that it created on top of the bottle, and how that allowed us to go with that, because the bottle is just, that's a stock bottle. Like that's just a cube. But by having this cap that fit with it and is custom, it gives the look of a custom silhouette, and it makes it feel like both pieces are unique and telling a story. And then we also love, like you mentioned chess pieces earlier, and loved the keyhole as a concept. But we also loved how like playful it was, that it could also read as like a game piece, like a sari board or a chess board. And then when you take it off, it looks a crystal ball, like standing on a mound. So there were so many interpretations.
Oh, I love
of it.
That.
Yeah. Like we were just like, any way that this can be interpreted in the wild, like feeds into this feeling of like playfulness and mystery and this like kind of spiritualism. So it just, we liked that it was like foolproof. Like it doesn't matter how you interpret it. It's got to make sense.
You just want to grab it when you see it.
Mm-hmm. That's Caleb's favorite compliment, because people say that. I do think it's a very human response to be like, I want to clutch that little ball and I want to pull it off.
I got to
bottle. He's like hacking into brains in some way with that. And it's perfect.
That's
tactiles.
So cool.
Yeah. There's so many good like tactile sensations with perfume bottles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
So-
yeah.
We went into the bottle, but can you explain a little bit more how you got to Clue the name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we have a long list of names, and I was looking back on this note recently. I'm pretty disciplined. I always have pretty detailed notes and spreadsheets and documents about everything, and I do force Caleb to engage with those. But I was looking back on it recently, and the only kind of rules that we had were we wanted it to be really easy to say and really easy to spell. Just because I was thinking about how it always bums me out that even as someone so passionate about perfumes and someone who's buying hundreds of samples and has this collection, there are all these names that even if they're made by an American perfumer, they're French. And I don't speak French. So I was like, this kind of thing. I don't know why this like language is being put between me and perfume, even when it's not French. So we were just like, it's going to be a word that we can pronounce, like us too, since we're the ones making it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
That was the only rule. And we wanted it to be a little light because there's also so much pretension is, I feel like, too harsh of a word, but there's a lot of like,
it's true.
Yeah, it is true. We just wanted to be simple and humble and a little tickle, like a little kind of like, hmm. And then what ended up happening was Clue is my favorite movie. And Caleb had gotten me a poster of it, which I'll show you it. It's just cool. And I just hung it up. But he had gotten me this great poster of it. And it's it was only for the like German screenings or something like that. And he liked it because it was like a diagram. Like it's matching all the people with their weapons and with the room. Yeah. So that poster came before the name. And then we were just talking about the names. And his like Kate name was like, it. Yeah. So Kate was just like, what about Clue? And Caleb was like, that's been on my list. Like I've been thinking about that. So yeah.
Oh, that's really
so cool. Yeah.
Meant to be.
Yeah. I thought about that because the names of the fragrances like sound like the weapons in Clue, like the kick, warm bowl.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah. Like the point. And I'm like, where's the knife scent?
Oh, totally. Yeah. With the candlestick is the only that was specific like, knot.
Yeah. The clearest connection that.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
I'm interested in being a Midwest girl like me. Or were there any, and they can be perfumes or just like scents out in the world, any scents that really impacted you throughout your life that you remember? Then did they then make their way into your collection in any way? Because I know you talked about your experience with the church and communion and all that, but in terms of like, was there any scent parallels to that or anything else?
Yes. And I feel like they're happening all the time. I try to take notes of kind of everything I'm smelling just like out in the world. And when I go home, because my parents still live in Madison. So when I go back to Madison, that's a particularly rich time when there's just like a lot of smells I'm reminded of that I haven't gotten to smell for a bit being in the city.
Yeah.
Like you probably had this around you, but Caleb and I always talk about prairie burns because both of us lived right on like these giant prairies and like the fire department comes, burns the whole every like 3 to 5 years, and it's just it's the best burning smell. It's so good
because it's different than like a leaf burn, right? Like it's to me it's like drier.
Oh, it's drier, and it's also got more of sticks and like pods and flowers because it's a lot of all the prairie flowers I feel are really seedy. I love that. So yeah, prairie burns, so much stuff, manure. Lots of just the smell of being on the Beltline, and it's so humid, and the like concrete is wet, and there's like the air conditioning fluid coming through the car.
Car smells are the best.
Yeah,
I know. I've been working on a beer smell for my dad owns like a dive bar in Madison.
Which one? So
it's called The Village. It's on Mineral Point Road. It just got voted second best dive bar in Madison, right behind Le Tigre, which are like my two favorite bars in the world.
Oh
so
my God, I love that. Le Tigre, no.
Yes. But yeah, I've been working on a, like for a while I was working on a, it's easier to make like an IPA than to make like a light beer.
I see that.
So but I feel like a light beer feels more true to a dive bar. So I've been working on like a Pabst.
That's so cool.
It's so fun. Oh
my God.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll make its way like to market or?
I have no idea. In the form that it's in right now, it's pleasant. So maybe I would love if it was something that just like smelled like his bar and was only for sale there. But we'll see.
Love.
That would be so
that'd be sweet.
Yes.
I think it'd be, and I love the idea of forcing people to make this pilgrimage to this random bar in Madison and go into their walk-in cooler.
But you know what, though? You know how Madison and like cities like Madison are. People would, and they'd sell it out.
People would.
Like, you know?
I know. I think they'd like that. I think it'd be so fun.
Boozy scents are a category, but like you never beer scents in that collection. It's always like whiskey.
I know.
These like brown liquors, but...
Because I don't think beer gives you the same like luxury as the idea of a bourbon or a cognac does, but it's who needs luxury.
But like
I know,
ingredients in beer could be in like hops, barley.
Barley, yeah, exactly.
Give me a barley scent. I would love
totally. The reason why the IPA scent was easier than the light beer is because you can just buy those hops, like the same hops that they put. Like you can buy hop extract, and it just smells like an IPA. So. There's very little you need to add to it, but life years are tough.
This has been so fun. And I know that we both are really excited about Clue and the first, am I right in saying you launched three scents and then came out with a fourth, like the what is it called?
The next one?
The point is the new one, right? This debut collection is so strong and dynamic that I can't wait to see what the future holds for Clue. And I think I speak for both of us where we just so appreciate like the concept behind it and the visual execution. It's just so fucking good. I don't know. I don't know how to say it, but the future is very bright for you and we can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I listened to the show a lot when I was like in those jobs that I hated. And I remember all the time. It was the closest thing I could get to like working in fragrance was like listening to it all day.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I remember specifically you, Tynan. I remember you saying that we're like the best smell I could imagine is like river tubing with a beer and sunscreen and lemonade. And I was like, they get it. They get it. Those are the best smells. I'm so sick of the rose, the sexy jasmine.
I know, totally.
Yeah. Give me river water.
Yes.
Oh, I love how like atmospheric your whole collection is. And I'm like, it's like literally
so sweet.
Building.
Yeah,
you're
totally.
Building your own world out of these scents, which is so cool, which is why I'm like, what are they going to do next? They could do this.
You're right, Sable. They do feel so nice like the same, all from the same universe, and not all collections do.
Yeah.
They're all very different, but exactly. They're very different, but I don't know. They feel like they came from the same
place. They'll live someplace. Place. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We try really hard to make it like the same way an artist releases an album where it's you're in the album cycle, like everything has to look like the album cycle, but it's coming from the same artist. And you guys get it.
Not a fellow Madison girl.
The world is small sometimes in lovely ways.
Yes.
I'm just like so interested in what they're going to do next. I'm like, please do a knife scent. I think that would be really cool.
Man, of the four scents that are out right now, it's hard to pick a favorite because they're all just so solid. It obviously comes down to personal taste, etc. But I just think whatever is next for them, they're really going to land.
I love when people do shit with the creativity that they intrinsically have, not trying to conform to a format that they think is the industry standard.
Yeah.
So many people do that, especially in beauty, that I'm just like, wow, it's really cool to see creatives doing their thing in a known medium.
Right. And I think that as we talked about, we're still continuing to see this sort of post-pandemic effect on perfume and the whole fragrance industry. And I think it's really exciting that when I think we all thought that indie fragrance could only look one way, derogatory, being like very Etsy vibes, very DIY, very Whole Foods, which is all valid.
Yeah. There was a time, I do feel like pre-pandemic, when a lot of indie, dare I say Etsy fragrance brands all smelled the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just like, where are you guys getting your stuff from? What's going on here?
And of course, that comes down a lot to money and access and all these things that come with privilege. And we keep seeing the coolest brands coming out and one way or another all sort of ladder back to, well, I had this thought during lockdown and they all look so different, but I think that the bar is being raised. And again, one is not better than the other in that way. Farmers market fragrances are valid, but it's just exciting to see, like you said, like the universe of it all, like the bottles and the labels and the caps and everything. It's really cool.
I really hope that this surge of new fragrance brands also means that there's going to be more B2B brands that help fragrance brands make cool bottles, not just give me like, here, you can stock caps for 10,000 units. Come on, be real. Be serious, please. Honestly.
You will have that axe to grind for the rest of your life until we do a fragrance.
I'm just like, why? If you have the stock, why not sell it? What is wrong? Not like money? I don't know. What do I know? As soon as Dias and Durga told me that making the 10 ml versions of their big bottles cost just as much, I was like, something is wrong in this economy. You guys need to figure out the math here, because what the hell?
Something is wrong in this economy.
This industry needs to figure it out.
Do you ever get the feeling that there is corruption? Anyway.
There is some bad math happening.
Yes, no, literally.
Anyway.
Go check out Clue Perfumery. You will not be disappointed.
You shan't be disappointed. Their website is just clueperfumery.com. But if you're in New York, obviously, you can go to Stell. You can go to Forecast. I don't know anywhere else, but it's a good excuse to hunt them down.
Definitely. Go on an adventure, for God's
adventure.
Sake.
Leave your house. My advice. That's rich.
Right.
If you like this episode, if you listen, let me put it this way. If you listen to this episode, please.
Not let me put it this way.
Yeah, let me put it this way. If you got this far, please leave us 5 stars anywhere you can. Leave us a nice little comment on Spotify. You can go to our website at smellylater.live, where we have our merch. You can leave us a voice note at our hotline. Follow us at smellylater.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.